is the Duffin' Up Podcast.
What is going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? It is Tuesday, August 31st, and welcome to the Duffin' Up Podcast. We're not doing intros this week. We're trying something new. We're just going to go. We're going to
shoot from the hip. Shoot from
BMW the hip. BMW Championship. Go. No.
Oh. What a tournament.
Oh, my God, guys. For those of you who don't know, that was Tim. Mike's down there, too. So I just did a little intro, but it's not that big of an intro. I still wanted to get that out of the way. Anyways.
Six-hole playoff. Six. This whole season's just been playoff.
Long playoff.
Can we say there is absolutely nothing wrong with that? I mean, how good of golf have we watched this year?
Oh, it's guys we sometimes don't even know, too.
True.
Not this week, though. This is not Harry versus Kramer. This is not Harry English Kramer Hickok, which we did miss that week.
Seamus Power, JT Poston.
Oh, God. Yep. I mean, the list goes on and on. This has been back-to-back playoffs of the best of the best. Last week, we had Tony versus Cam, and we had Cam pulling the Louis and just going, just first playoff hole, just going right in the water. This week we had Patty Ice, the smoothest man. That's right. This one's actually real. People actually do call him Patty Ice. This is no TP, which we're trying to get going. This is a real nickname
TP
for Patrick Cantlay.
He was there too. Made a putt on 18 to just, it's all a playoff, but go on, Bren.
Yeah. I mean, Tony got third because he made that birdie, right?
Yeah. He made like a 10 foot, 15 foot putt, just rolling right into next week.
Oh, man.
Jeez. But Cantlay, just so smooth and just like very appreciative of the fans, you know, just like kind of like waving or pointing or keeping people involved, thanking people for sticking around for six holes. I mean, they were even saying it on TV. People were walking away in his line of putt, a putt he had to drill, and I think he did. And
he did.
He drilled every putt that he had to drill.
Is this? Can we think of a better example of the drive for show, putt for dough saying? I mean, this just solidifies that if you are a great putter, I mean, it solidifies the fact that golf comes down to a putt. Golf is won on the putting green, and it absolutely the greatest example we could have had by Patrick Cantlay making 1,000 feet of different putts throughout his six hole playoff in regulation. I mean, that, what was it on the 72nd hole? He made that 21 footer for birdie to get into the playoff. That was absolutely absurd. I mean, that just started what was to be a even more magical display of putting by Patrick Cantlay.
It was absolutely unbelievable. And so they didn't even track the putt. I mean, they obviously tracked the putts for the last six holes. They tracked his 72 hole made putts feet in feet, 537. That is by far and away the longest on tour this year. I think the second highest was Kevin Na when he won when he was able to win earlier this year. I think he had 468. So he had 80 more feet in 72 holes, by the way. So that doesn't even include his six extra holes of putting, which he made some diamonds. He made some absolute monster putts in those playoffs too.
And on the, so just and on think the flip, about that. Brendan, on the flip, it all started with Bryson's missed putt for a 59 on Friday, right?
Yep.
Like it all started with that. And then he did, how many putts did he have to seal the deal? His putting, obviously, Tim, like you said, driver show, putt for dough. Cantlay, every hole, every playoff hole was the same playoff hole. It was Cantlay's 30 yards, 40 yards behind Bryson. He's going to go first. It's not like he's stuck. He did stick that on that par three inside Bryson's to like 2 feet. That was when they played 17 for the first time. That was Bryson put one to like 5 feet, and then Cantlay follows it up with one to like two.
Was the second time they played it.
Is that the second time?
Yeah, that was the second time they played it.
Oh, my goodness. Just incredible stuff. Incredible stuff.
Damn it, Tim. You just had the best.
Yeah, the best freeze frame of all time. With the peace sign.
It was unbelievable. You were just so happy. You were as happy as a clam. Oh, man. That was unbelievable.
That's funny. Bryson missed that putt for 59, and then he didn't make another.
He had the clutch same putt.
All his clutch putts were missed. Just missed.
Oh man. He had the exact same putt. I think it was the third playoff hole. The second playoff hole. Second playoff hole when he hit it that close to get it for birdie.
Yeah.
And he missed it. That was
Tim, what did he do there? He gave the hole away. Fucking gave the hole away.
He did.
What is he doing? All that, all those calculations. You got to be better.
I know. God. Get the protractor back out. We need the protractor back on the green. What is happening with him?
This is all about Patrick Cantlay and his impressive thing. The most impressive thing that I will have to give Bryson credit for is making par after he goes in the water on the fifth playoff hole.
Bogey, right? And Cantlay made bogey, or did he make
par? No.
The par.
Bryson made par. They both made par.
30-second timeout.
Good talk.
30-second timeout on that one. Yeah. How was he able to drop into the fairway?
Line of
go in the water. That is the one thing, and I think I tweeted about it from our Twitter account too.
No, you can put on any line that ball entered into the water. Any line.
You should get punished for that. Just like when we talked about it, for you know how now basically guys are like aiming for the stands so they get the free drop, so like they're not worried about it. I think it was the Scottish Open where they just had that eight where they had the drop area and it was just incredibly overgrown.
Yes,
and it was disgusting. It was either the Irish Open or the Scottish Open on 18 that they started doing that. You should not get a drop in the fairway if you hit it into the water. Like JT Poston had the same thing happen in his.
But did he go kaplunk? Did Bryson's
he went
ball?
Kaplunk.
Bryson's ball hit the ground. Bryson's
it
ball
hit the ground first, and it went in. Yes,
exactly. So I believe that is why he can drop it on any line where that ball entered, no closer to the hole.
As far back as you want to go.
As far back. But if it went, but that's a good question, Brendan. If it went kaplunk right into the water, no hit of the earth first.
You still get it. JT Poston did it in their playoff hole.
You still get what? You can put in the fairway?
Oh, yeah. That's a rule that
So you're just saying, okay. You're just saying.
No.
It's a rule you hate.
It's Brendan's rant time because we get one every show.
So he should have to put it in the rough.
Should absolutely have had to put it in the rough.
No disagreement.
Like there's no, like, I'm sorry, dude. You hit a bad shot. Like you got a stroke penalty, but you should have to pay more for that. Like also course guys, pull that rough a little bit. Make sure you pull that rough 2 club lengths out.
That's a good compromise right there.
Make sure you pull that rough 2 club lengths out from any water whatsoever. So that way they gotta drop it in the rough. Cause that is, I saw that and I was like, are we serious right now? Like this is kind of nuts.
That's why on the golf course, if you see red stakes, don't always be that afraid. You know, white stakes, that's out of bounds. That's, you got to re-tee it. But red stakes,
be very afraid. Be very afraid of the white stakes.
White stakes, your heart jumps a beat.
But well, that's what happened with, I mean, we're bringing back, like, you know, a dude that barely made the 125, but JT Poston in the Barbasol again, like he had that where they literally had to bring out the string in order to measure if his ball was in line.
Yeah. Right.
That was nuts. So, yeah. So red, I mean, heck, there, you might as well hit it into the red because you might get a great bounce. You might get a great lie because you can just drop it.
Like Tim said, though, he made par, and that was like a very impressive par because he had a lot of like fairway shots approaching greens from short distances that he really didn't put that close. Like he was closer than Cantlay just because he was closer to the hole than Cantlay, but like it's not like he was sticking any wedges really, really close except for that tee shot on the par three. But
that was basically the only hole where Bryson did something that he had to do. He had to make par there. Every other hole, Cantlay did something he had to do, whether that was to save par because Bryson was right on his tail. But Bryson always had the upper hand and didn't come through when he had to do, or he never had to make a putt up until that last hole. And where he had to make the putt to match Cantlay. Right. But that was the only thing where he had to do something, and he did it. He had to make par, and he did it, which was the big impressive thing that I will give Bryson credit for sure. But the rest of it was a Patrick Cantlay show, yeah. Starting off with that impressive putt on the 72nd hole, and then Mike talking about the second time they played 17, the par three, where Bryson stuck it to about 8 feet, and then Patrick Cantlay placed it right inside of him to about 3-4 feet, which was
insane.
Insane.
Insane. Yeah.
Are we going to talk about it all? My cousin Matt texted me as we were doing it, and I had missed this because I guess it was a little earlier in the round when Bryson talked to Patrick
Cantlay. Oh, we're going to talk about that, because I did want to just mention before we talk about that, though, that the biggest thing was strokes gained. So Bryson is always going to basically lead the tour every week in strokes gained off the tee, right? Basically. So this week he was 8.03 strokes gained off the field in driving distance. Patrick Cantlay was 14.6 strokes gained on the putting surface. That is the highest number for strokes gained putting since 2004. Guess when they started keeping the statistic?
That year?
2004. So it's the highest ever. It's absolutely insane. Like, it's the highest recorded ever. I mean, that just shows you what Cantlay did. And speaking of which, talking about his putting, that is when kind of on the 14th hole, stuff started to swing back, I think, in Pat and Cantlay's favor a little bit. Just once, you know, Bryson goes out, he says, hey, can you stop? Like, instead of just being a normal person and backing off, and like resetting, and then Patrick probably would have looked over and been like, oh, snap, like, you know, oh, I should probably like hold up real quick, because he's, you know, he just backed off again. He's about to hit, blah, blah, blah. Instead, Bryson calls him out, gets himself all flustered, flies the green. Patrick Cantlay goes down and hits an absolute monster, another monster putt. Like, what a surprise. Patrick Cantlay hits a monster putt. It's just like, dude, you're doing it to yourself. And they also said is that was kind of because we heard, I think we were hearing it a lot that on the broadcast that it was like, Bryson has the crowd. Bryson has the crowd. Bryson has the crowd. There was a story from Kevin. Oh, my God. I cannot believe I don't remember his name. The podcast that rhymes with Schmo Schmang Schmup. Was able to do a story on him too about it. But there was basically a story about how right around there people started like, sorry, Kevin Von Valkenburg, who's like a very pretty well-known respected golf writer for ESPN, basically wrote that like the crowd started to turn after that. And like soon, like the Brooksy chants got a lot louder and everything was going on that side. And it was just like, oh, oh man, Bryson on that. But it's just like, what do you think's going to happen, dude? When you do like, you know, your Bryson things, like the crowd is going to turn on you because you're being, you know, kind of a douche.
Timmy, who are you rooting for?
What's that?
Who are you rooting for?
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah. Especially, and all I could think about was that story you told us, Mike. I don't know, it must have been like 3 or 4 months ago or whatever, when Patrick Cantlay and the story, you know how we.
Yeah,
we,
the memorial. It was at the memorial because we were talking about like how, like, kind of Patrick Cantlay doesn't really do it for any of us, you know?
Right. What
and then Mike dropped that bomb on us, and I was like, oh, great.
Like, and all of a sudden, we were horrible. Like, Team Cantlay,
Team
right
Canada.
After that.
Team Patty Ice.
He doesn't have anything about him that like makes you want to not root for him, but there's like, he doesn't, but once he started pointing to the crowd and then after he won, he started thanking, like he's just so in his own zone. He's so just in his own lane and he doesn't blink. And it's like, he doesn't even have any swagger. Like it's like, I don't think like, there's no like, I mean, he's making every putt, but, and then he's just so like, it almost looks like he's an old man, like 80 years old when he bends down. Like he's just so slow and he's just so methodical and goes his own pace and he's in his own world. And it's so impressive. And I mean, again, Ryder Cup, we were talking about it last week. Tim, you kind of said he, Patrick Cantlay over Kevin Na. I mean, I'm on that train now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I did see one of the funniest things in the world. It's just like, we do talk about the Ryder Cup here a lot just because it's coming up too. But that there was a tweet the other day that was just like, so just keeping score on Team USA, it was Brooks and Bryson hate each other. Bryson and Patrick Cantlay hate each other. DJ and Brooks hate each other.
And all of Europe loves each other.
And if he gets into the team, everyone hates Patrick Reed. Meanwhile, everyone on Team Europe absolutely loves each other. It's hilarious. When I was down in Hilton Head.
That's why they
went. Yeah. When I was at the RBC, like, I saw Lee Westwood going up one hole and I was walking like with Tyrrell Hatton and they were literally just like goofing with each other the entire time as they're like walking up each other's fairways. I'm like, damn, like,
right.
The Europeans just kind of get it on that side. Like they just know how to play team golf and they don't really have rivalries. Meanwhile, the entire Team USA like hates each other.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, they do have some buffers like Colin Morikawa. I mean, he's just a chillax guy. I mean,
Xander, if he makes it.
Hopefully Xander. Spieth, if he gets there.
Spieth and JT will get like a, well, they'll do their own little thing.
And what's not to like about Tony Finau?
I mean, oh, yeah, Tim.
There's everything to like about Tony Finau. But you have it on the other side where it's just like, oh boy, like half the team actually does hate each other.
That's a good point. They can't be on the same team. Or they could use that energy and just combine and make an absolute monster. Who knows?
If they did alt shot and Bryson and Brooks were on the same team.
That could even go
really. I kind of need it now. Like I kind of need it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
That's a hot take.
I would love that. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Brendan, we were talking about Tiffy and his reemergence with his big win at the Northern Trust. And then you were going to say Rory at the BMW. Rory was there. Rory was there. Getting better.
Rory's slowly but surely, he's climbing back up. And I love it. He did very well at the Olympics. He had a good week this week.
I
don't know when Rory's going to win again. Don't know. And it makes me sad. But besides, like, I mean, another huge guy that has come out of not absolutely nowhere, but I've been talking about him, Erik von Rooyen, once again, out of nowhere, gets fifth place. So he goes from 45th to 27th, able to make it in, makes it into the Tour Championship next week. What a story. What a story from a guy who was ranked 170th. Before, I think it was the Barracuda, wins the Barracuda, gets in, plays well at the Wyndham, gets even more, plays very well at the Northern Trust, and then plays amazing here. Dude's getting hot. He's getting hot at the exact right time.
We know he's going to be in at least two of our daily fantasy lineups because his value is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's at like $5,000.
$5,000. You got to put him in. You got to put him in your lineup.
Oh, for sure. I did.
Oh, he's in mine too.
Yeah. But
Brendan, are you crying a little bit inside today? Or as you appear to look at that BMW top 32 FedEx Cup standings?
Oh, Mr. CH.
The Seagull. Charlie.
I'll tell you what. He had a putt. He had a putt if he would have made it. Him and Alex Norum both, they had putts. And of course, who still makes it? Patrick Reed, who's probably not going to play Patrick Reed. So I don't know what the situation is if they bring in the 31st guy or if they just like, no, we'll play with 29, which would be really, that would really suck for one of the guys because he would just kind of be playing, but one guy would play by himself the entire week, basically.
Yeah, that'd be brutal. That's interesting.
So, but it's not official, though. It's not official, right? Like,
no, it's not official yet. But he's got to
bring in a replacement,
guys.
Too. You got to bring in a replacement, but unfortunately, Charlie's not 31.
No, it's KH Lee. KH Lee had a really good week too. But yeah, I mean, we got, that's just such a shame.
It's a good year out of Charlie. Good year.
Oh, you know, he's made the BMW. I think he's made the BMW pretty much every single year, but he's only ever made 3 tour championships. And he's played in the FedEx Cup. Yep. He's played in the FedEx Cup since it started back in 2004. He's played in every single FedEx Cup.
No way.
Yep. Wow.
So he's been in the top 70 for.
He's been in the top 125 for that many years.
Okay.
I don't know how many BMWs he's played in, but I think he basically makes the BMW every year.
So he's at least been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Steady Eddie.
I mean, he's in 2 events in the playoffs.
Big money.
Big money. Oof.
I think his Ryder Cup moment has failed. So unfortunately, very unfortunate. Thomas Bjorn, very, very funny tweet talking about, I think it was, about Patrick Cantlay. And he tweeted out, radio.
I think I saw something like this too. I just can't pull it.
Oh yeah, I'm looking through the history books.
I'm not trying.
So with Cantlay, he types out, I'm looking through the history books to find a way that Patrick Cantlay is Canadian. Oh, absolutely amazing. So he can't play in the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
Trevor Immelman, the captain of the President's Cup team, responds, "So am I." Unreal.
Fantastic. No way.
The Canadians play in the President's Cup for Team World, which that should probably change. That President's Cup team now gets stacked by not only the South Africans and the Australians, but Canadians, the Mexican guys, Ortiz and Answer, monsters. So sooner or later, they're going to have
tweet.
To.
That's an all-time tweet out of Immelman. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so am I. Much. Unreal. Absolutely fantastic. Imagine that. That'd be so funny.
Do you have to choose? Can you play on both the President's Cup and the European?
European, you can't choose. So only the USA gets both. Yeah, so you have to be in. The President's Cup is USA versus the international team, which does not include the European team. Europeans.
So Canada plays international, right?
Canada plays for the international team. Yep.
But say you were part Scottish, part Canadian, do you have to choose? Could you play on both Presidents and Ryder?
No, you have to choose.
But they're in different years, so why wouldn't you be able to?
Yeah, every other year. But he's basically 1 year you're European, the next year you're.
Because in the Olympics, you get all these guys that are just choosing countries, which, we've talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. But Timmy, you were going to say
Rory Sabatini.
Well, what about the Solheim Cup? I was looking at the lineups and I'm like, the USA is stacked, but can you imagine if they just put South Korea in with the European team? I mean,
they have that. Yeah. So they have that version. I don't know what the name of it is, but they do have the LPGA President's Cup version. I got to look it up. Sorry, guys.
No, that's a good look up. Because it's Ladies Week and they deserve their due. Lexus Cup, maybe?
No.
No. Women's President's Cup.
Yeah, I think I think they're just about to do it. It inspires spinoff.
While you guys are looking that up, did you know the mid-amateur this year was in Nantucket?
No.
It was in Nantucket this year. And
was it?
Yeah. Cool. A course that I, my girlfriend and I went to Nantucket last year and we rented moped and this place, I just knew it as a golf course, went there. And I was we stopped the moped a couple of times on different holes just so I could look at it. It's very cool. Overlooking, Brendan, you'd like this big striped lighthouse on the middle of the course. You could see it from everywhere, just like Harbor Town. But yeah, it's just something cool. The mid-amateur, Nantucket, kind of cool location. in the old Massachusetts US of A.
Would have been a great excuse to go to Nantucket. I missed it.
That's true.
I haven't been in Nantucket, I don't think, ever. Maybe
I've
once.
I've never been in Nantucket.
It's pretty cool.
Interesting. So they actually do not have.
I mean, what ferry do you take? At a point, can you add a Point Judith?
No, I did it out of New Bedford, but next time if I was to do it, I'd do it out of Woods Hole. Mm. It would be way cheaper to do Woods Hole. New Bedford.
You can also get the fast ferry too, I think, from Woods Hole, can't you?
Yeah, and it's way cheaper anyway. New Bedford was so expensive. I would never do it again. Take the extra hour drive to Woods Hole.
Better drive.
That is true. So yeah, so there is actually not a women's President's Cup version, mostly because I think the Americans would probably be scared that they would get spanked. They would get spanked because even though it seems very one-sided on the Solheim Cup side, just from like international rankings, the Europeans won in 2019 and the record is the US has won 10 cups and the Europeans have won 6. So it's actually not as lopsided as I thought it was going to be. So nice little research before we came in. You got to love it, but I'm excited. I do think, and this is again going back to a problem that I have with women's golf coverage versus men's golf coverage. Obviously, the men's game is bigger and, you know, everything like that. Why are you putting the Solheim Cup up against the Tour Championship?
Yep. Poor.
Wait a week. If you wait 1 week, it will go up. I believe it's
Didn't the golf restructured their weekend format to not compete with football, and now they moved it up, so everything's bumped. Like, it could be the other way around. Like, the men could move it, or I know you probably meant the same thing, vice versa. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter which way, but you got the Solheim, the Tour Championship, all on Labor Day weekend. The Shotgun Star was talking about it. It's just, I mean, Labor Day weekend. No one's going to want to be watching golf. We're all out and about, hanging out. You know.
I would agree with that, but it makes sense for the men because, like what you said, the men wanted to be done before the NFL season kicks off. And that makes sense. Like, that actually does make sense. And people do watch the Tour Championship, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I do think that it is, you know, one of those areas where do you want to go up against the Tour Championship or do you want to wait a week and go up against the Safeway Open? You know what I mean? Like, if I was the women, I would be looking at it like, okay, well, we're not going to schedule these big events against other large men's tournaments because I think that it does take it away. And it does take away viewers sometimes because I do think people would, I think there would be a lot more golf fans watching the Solheim Cup if it wasn't going directly against the, going against the Tour Championship this weekend.
Well, of course.
So, like, get it together, LPGA. Get it together, Ladies European Tour. Move it around.
Jesus.
We've got
how many years in advance was this scheduled on this day, you think?
I'm guessing it had to be last year, right?
Yeah, because I think it got rescheduled because the Solheim Cup is usually even years because the Ryder Cup's odd years, right? Because the Ryder Cup even years.
When was the Tour Championship scheduled for?
The Tour Championship is scheduled for Labor Day every year since like 5 years ago.
Really? Oh, so they changed that long ago? I thought it was a recent change.
No, they changed it.
There's a recent change because it's within, like 3 or 4 years, because remember they did have the Labor Day weekend tournament was always the Deutsche Bank.
Right.
Because they used to always finish on a Monday.
Yeah.
Do remember that. And the Tour Championship was like a mid-September classic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hey, and regardless that you got both these on, I think the women's is going to be better to watch. I mean, I think that shit's going to be so exciting.
US, it is. Europe. It's team golf.
Yeah. It's team golf.
I think it's always more exciting.
And you got the Tour Championship, and it's on a Monday. It ends on a Monday.
I agree. They did do the change in 2019. So that was the change.
Yeah. So final day is Monday too. So you don't have much to compete with there.
No, no, you don't. Because the final, I believe the final day for the men is Sunday. I think they still did that.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm not sure.
Because maybe it is Monday.
Is it Friday? Is it the tournaments are Friday this week? Let's see.
That's a great question. We should probably know this since we're a golf podcast after all.
I think it starts Thursday.
Get into it just a little. Are you guys fan of the format of the starting with a couple shot leads?
It does start Thursday.
Thursday, way. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
No, but then
the women's is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So yeah. Anyways, we can move on. But
I'm no, just the women's is Saturday, Sunday, Monday, bro.
I swear to God, it's the 4th, the 5th, the 6th.
The Solheim?
Yeah.
Give me Monday. It's on Monday. I was just reading something.
The 4th, the 5th, the 6th is, yes.
That's Friday, it. Saturday, Sunday.
No, it's a Saturday, nope. Sunday.
Saturday, Monday. Sunday, Monday. You're right. My bad. Hand up. All right. Well, at least I know what I'm watching on Monday.
That's excellent.
I'm watching those singles matches.
12 singles matches. And
let's go.
It's going to ride or die on that, baby.
Me and the World Long Drive Championship as well.
Oh, God. With Bryson?
Yeah, with Bryson.
Oh, jeez.
Can't wait.
No, Timmy. What did you say? Not this Monday.
Yeah, I thought the World Long Drive was next week.
It's after the Ryder Cup.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Not the Solheim Cup. After the Ryder Cup.
After the Ryder Cup, yep.
Yeah, it's the day after.
The day after, correct.
Oh boy, Bryson's got to get Timmy's on.
Timmy's getting excited. Timmy thinks the Ryder's Cup's coming like this weekend. I
can't wait for the Ryder Cup.
I think this is a nice little preview. You know, nice little giddy up.
It is. It very much is. I would agree with that completely. But Tim, you were asked before we again got crazy. What were you asking?
I ask a lot of questions. Keep going.
For the tour championship, the format, right? That's what you were asking.
Yes, the starting with the leader starting with a 10 under score already without even hitting a golf shot. Yes, that one.
So Mike, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I guess I'll fly. I don't know. I mean, I like the fact that the winner of this tournament is the FedEx Cup winner of all the money. That's what I like. So find me a format to, I mean, it's only a 2-shot lead, right? Over the second place guy. So pretty much, yeah, you're eliminating how many guys? Only the top 10, 15 have a real shot, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like it. I'm kind of in on it. You know, I'm kind of in on it. Well, how else would you do it? But I just want the guy who makes that lowest total score for the tour championship, the 4-day event. I want that guy to be the $15 million receivee.
I would agree with that. It's hard. It is really, really hard.
Because imagine that you have the winner and then he doesn't win all the money. And it's like, oh, who won? Both guys, like one guy really won because he made a $15 million, but another guy got a PGA.
That's literally what used to happen.
Tiger and Justin Rose.
Yeah. Xander Schauffele with the year. Do you know that Xander Schauffele would have won 3 out of the last 4 tour championships if it was just straight stroke format? Hey, Norm.
Norm. He's looking at himself in the mirror. He does not like.
Oh, boy. Norm. He's like, who is that guy?
I like it better now, though.
Huh? So that kind of sucks for him because like they do it. It's literally like clockwork every year now. And they're like, oh, look, Xander Schauffele would be winning this tournament if it was a normal format, but it's not. So he's not winning it. I do think it's really, I think it's not the best format, but at the same time, it's a good compromise. And yeah, the part that does suck is that you could get a guy who's super hot, like Erik von Rooyen. We're going back to him. And, you know, he shoots low, but he started at even. So he's got no shot of winning. That's the part that I don't like. That's the part that kind of sucks.
I mean, the only thing different that I can really think of off the top of my head would be to make, if you come in first place, make it like 4,000 FedEx Cup points or something like that, where you basically automatically win or something like that. I don't, unless you're,
yeah,
no, that's the only thing I can.
But then but then it's one turn. You know what I mean? But then you're like banking on one tournament, so it's like it's hard. It's like really hard to strike a balance.
Well, what if it all resets after? It's like the goal of the season is to make it to that tour championship, and if you come in that top 30. Everything resets. You're like, great. You've been granted access to this tour championship. Here you go. Whoever wins it, wins it.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's probably that would probably be the best alternative. But then that also takes away from like guys like Tony Finau and everyone else has actually done. And that's right. The thing with me where it's just
and
like,
you, okay. Yeah, you fight for it every week that they go out and they, I don't, it is like, again, I'm looking at it here, like Cantlay's starting at 10 under, Patrick Reed, Billy Horschel, Sergio Garcia, Van Rooyen, Berger,
even
10 shots. They're coming from behind. Like, what an attitude, what a mentality they got to come in right out of the gates. And then if they come back and do it, like, again, they deserve the $15 million, but Cantlay, you want to reward guys for showing up every week and accumulating the most FedEx Cup points. So how do you do that in one season to finish on a grand old event? I think they did they do a decent job here.
I would agree.
All these guys deserve, I mean, they're all very, very top-notch golfers. We know that. I don't know if they deserve $15 million. But that's like another conversation in terms of just total amount of money going to one person, but they can do it. These guys are the best, and I don't mind the format. I think it's getting the job done for me.
I like it. Speaking of monies, do we want to do our daily fantasy picks? Hope to win some monies?
Transition. I like it. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what a segue. What a segue. So
I'm going to have to deposit after this week.
I only had $3 left in my account.
Oh, yeah.
So I did the $3 one.
Yeah.
I hate to deposit.
I had some left. I actually won like a nice chunk from the Wyndham. So I had that left over. But I'm going to, if I don't win this week, I'll have to deposit. Such a shame. Such a shame.
Oh, jeez.
Such a shame.
But keep doing it, fellas.
Anyways, who wants to go first?
Keep battling out there. My club is relatively mediocre. I mean, everybody's so good, but there are guys in that like $8,000 range. Like, you could just pick them all and have a hell of a lineup.
You very well could. Mike, do you want to go first, or do you want one of us to?
You know, what do you guys want to do?
Timmy, I'll go first.
You ready?
I can go first. I'm ready to go. I'm good to go. So my first pick, I went all in on my first pick, $13,000. John
wow.
Rahm.
Wow.
John Rahm. Telling you. He's walking in there with, what is it? Is he eight? He's seven under, right? He's seven under, I believe.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, it's Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, Bryson DeChambeau with John Rahm. Yep. John Rahm is
six under or seven under?
I had it up, lost it.
Me too.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'll pull it up. Keep going.
Anyways, I am. I got it up right here. No, I don't.
Anyways, no, I got it. I see it. I clicked it recently, so it's loaded.
I mean, he's been John Rahm's. Just it's been the year of John Rahm. I think he's gonna go six. On in and kind of crush it.
Six under, four off the lead.
I think he can still catch him though. I think he can still catch him a lot. My next guy at $8,900. So a significant decrease to my second player, Xander Schauffele, $8,900, starting at two under. So he's actually very expensive for where he's starting, but he absolutely crushes East Lake. He loves the home of Bobby Jones. He goes in, just demolishes it every year. And I think he's going to do it again this year. So, boom. Right there. Third pick. $8,300. Colin Morikawa. Mm-hmm. He has let me down so hard during these FedEx Cup playoffs. But I know if I don't pick him this week, then he's going to go off. So, we're picking him.
70. Norm.
Norm wants in. Norm wants in.
Norm's got in.
Norm. $7,800, my fourth pick. Rooksay. Oh, Brooks Koepka.
Brandon, we're the same lineup. Jeez.
Do we really?
I mean, not exactly.
Jesus.
I didn't take John Rahm. I'm curious to see who your bottom of the barrel scum of the earth is.
My bottom, I'm now getting to my very big value picks. At $6,800, Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, that's not bad. I like that.
I hate his swing. I have always said it, and I will always say it. There's something I just don't like about it with the little pushback and everything. I just don't get it. But he's a great golfer, and I think he's got a real good chance at East Lake. And then finally, $5,000. The bottom of the barrel, but the man who has been on an absolute heater through these FedEx Cup playoffs, Erik von Rooyen. Let's go.
Back to his boy.
Let's get a 59 and just get to the top immediately. Let's do a Friday or a Thursday 59. I think you got it.
I like that.
Good lineup. Good lineup.
That's a good value, the Scotty Scheffler one.
I think so too, man. He is very, very low.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good call. It's not that long of a course, correct? It's like, I think it's like only like 7,000. It's not that long at all. Well, at least in their eyes, you know.
In their eyes, Tim.
In their eyes. For us, that's a battle.
That's a battle. Way too long.
Mike, you want me to go?
I know we'll talk about it in bogeys for the boys, but the back, it's always hurting. You go, Tim. Take it away.
All right. I'm going to start from my barrel at the bottom. I got two guys in the $5,000 range. Holy spumoni. The first one and the obvious one, Brendan and I already talked about that, Erik von Rooyen. Also, congratulations on your other boy with the goofy middle the goofy European name.
Rasmus Højgaard.
Rasmus Højgaard. Yep.
What a monster this week. We're going to get to him. That's okay.
Sorry about that. Had to bring him up.
If we haven't gotten to him already, we weren't going to bring him up.
Yeah, probably not. But the Danish Dynamo, well done. Well done, Rasmus.
No, you would have brought it. You definitely would have snuck him in there.
Oh, yeah. Danish Dynamo, baby. All we need now is his twin brother, Nikolai, to go out there and get a win. Then we'll have the Danish Dynamos. But continue.
That's right. The other one, the guy we somehow cannot. Sorry, I got this dog who's got a squeak toy. Can you hear that thing?
Oh, yeah. But that's okay.
Norm. He's great. He's part of the pod.
He's doing his best. It's okay.
He's part of the pod.
He is.
He just wants in. Yeah, he wants in. As long as he's not here, he's not barking. The next guy I got is Stuart Sink. Stuart Sink has won. Oh, here he comes. Stuart Sink, $5,200.
Timmy, I was just going to put him in mine.
But well, you can. You haven't put your lineup in yet.
No, I did. That's the thing. I was going to change. I know you guys say never change, which I'm on board with.
Yeah, I always change.
But I saw, dude, I was going to bring up Stuart Sink. Like, this guy is hanging with the big boys. And he's how old?
48.
Jeez. Does he have a son on the bag? Do we know?
Oh, does he have Reagan on the bag? Come on. Yeah, he's his full-time caddy.
Wow.
Until next year, right? He's retiring after this year. So this is their last event.
Is it really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Timmy, throw us a couple doll hairs on Stewie.
Yeah, I might have to.
Might have to.
Yeah, I think if you win, if you throw a dollar down, you win $250.
Bang.
But Stuart Sink and Erik von Rooyen, both at $5,200. Next on the list is our boy. The guy who is known to finish in second, Mr. Louis Oosthuizen. I know Louis Oosthuizen. What are we picking him for? He's kind of falling off the face of the earth. He's got to stay. He's got to stay. It's not a long course. This is good for him. Let's keep him in here. Louis, who's in 7,600, great value too.
And Timmy,
he's at least going to pick and finish in top five.
I mean, he's yeah, exactly. He's going to finish second. Great pick.
And the only reason I wouldn't pick him is because in order to place in this event, you actually have to make birdies in order to catch up to the people in front of you. That's not, you're not all starting equally. And he's the guy who makes pars. But I got a feeling he can do this. Next guy, hot as hell, Harris English, $8,700. Harris English, possible potential Ryder Cup guy, probably going to be there. And then these two guys, I have a real hankering. Rather than pick that one like Patrick Cantlay or that one like John Rahm, I'd pick two who could potentially win this. JT has already won here before. JT is at 11,000, played very well here last year. And then I got to pick him. Bryson DeChambeau.
Norm is a big Bryson guy.
You hear Norm in yeah. Norm's going of that. Nuts on he was Bryson. Ready for
either,
that. He
either loved it or hated it. We're not sure.
We're not sure, but if Timmy's loving it, I think Norm's loving it. And
oh yeah.
That's man. Bryson.
First off, I have multiple questions, Tim. Number one, how dare you? Number two, what gives you the right? No, I'm kidding.
You are an office fan, my friend.
I am. I love it. I mean, it's not a bad pick, though. There we go. Oh. Oh my God, Timmy O'Reilly, the Irish chooch, is giving us all a show today. We got Norm, we got the camera going everywhere. This is lovely. This is great.
My package.
We need to do this more often.
Oh boy.
All right. So that's what we're doing today.
You guys have all of my players except one.
Ooh.
All right, Mikey. So
Shoffley. I mean, Oosthuizen. Morikawa.
Yep.
Brooksy, the real one.
Brooksy.
Kepka. English.
Harry's a good pick.
And you know what? For the last tour championship, East Lake, this guy's been on my naughty list all year.
Oh, no, you're not.
Withdrew from a bad back earlier this year. Burned me. Not like my lineup was any good, but he's been on the shelf since then. But that mustache has me ticking a little bit, and he can play some golf. Sam Burns, bring it in, be a part of the club. Do me right this time, fella. Do me right.
Sam Burns, 30th, alone.
No.
Write it in sand.
No.
No, I was teetering on him too.
He's cheap. He's what? He's in the 60s, right?
8,500.
Oh, never mind. I thought he was cheaper.
My cheapest is Louis.
That's insane. That Louis should not be the cheapest. Louis is going to finish in second place.
Louis and Koepka. Brooksy's have no.
Brooksy's 7,800. That's kind of nuts.
No love.
No love at all.
Hey, well, boys. Yeah, moving this train forward.
Unreal.
We were both looking to segue there, Brendan.
I know, right? I know. We got chugga, 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 choo choo. Move it forward.
Charlie Hoffman moving backwards. Probably going to hang on some Caribbean island somewhere.
He's going back to California. He's going to go back to California. He's probably going to go to San Diego, where I was a week ago. He's just going to chill in the sunny and 75 degree weather. Drink some crazy frozen drinks and just enjoy life. Listen to some friggin' guy. Listen to Jack Johnson or whatever they listen to out there, and just enjoy it, man. Oh, what a life!
what a life! Grab a surfboard.
Seriously, oh my God! If he still had the long hair like he used to, I would have absolutely said he's getting out there and surfing.
I know Timmy and I played Friday. A little scramby.
Wait, is that what you think of when you think of California music? Jack Johnson?
No, I think of like, I think it's Sublime. To be honest, I usually think of Sublime.
Yeah.
Right. A little more. But Jack Johnson's very similar. Yeah, like Jack Johnson's very similar in like that area. Like I think of like kind of like the West Coast reggae music. I think so, like Pepper and Revolution and all those guys, like especially San Diego, because I feel like everyone down there is just literally just like singing about surfing and smoking weed and partying. And I'm just like, I'm so jealous. And you get up and then like, you know, you throw in some Tupac, you know, you throw in whatever they listen to up in San Francisco. I feel like they still listen to like Beethoven and all that nonsense. And, you know,
love
don't
it,
know.
Love it.
I have keep, no idea. San Francisco going. Is just a completely different world to me. Love San Diego, though. Luckily, my company has an office in San Diego, so we're going to have a hard thought. No,
he's contemplating it, Timmy. He's still giving it thought.
Still I giving mean, it thought. This is 2 weeks. This is a week later, and I'm still like, oh.
I mean,
thinking about it.
We'd have a spot to stay. Jeez.
Spot to stay. Courses to play.
Just need an airplane.
I know. Brendan, right? I'm rooting for you. I want to live vicariously through you.
I'm not going anywhere. But like, I seriously like, oh. What a life. What a life that would be. Anyways,
next
one for the boys. I apologize.
We'll get it on the next one, Brendan.
Keep bringing it up until he's there.
I'm on. No, the plane.
I looked up in my home. I'm like, man, I'm in Rhode Island right now. San Diego. That'd be pretty cool. No hate on Rhode Island. I just moved here and I freaking love it. The ocean state.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you could just move our life and group of people that we know and jobs and everything and just move it to or San move Diego. Bonnet Shores to California.
San Diego.
To Hilton Head.
Where the weather is always like that.
Or San Diego, one of the two. Thinking about it. Imagine that. My East Coast based South Carolina, West Coast, San Diego. We're doing it. Anyways, bogeys for the boys. Y'all played Friday. Little scramble format.
Little scramble.
First of all, let me say that tournament was one of the most well-run tournaments I've ever been a part of. You show up.
You never hear that. You never hear that. That's impressive.
It was, I mean, I can't, I'm. It's not like I'm playing four or five tournaments a year. I'm playing like one or two a year, but
yeah,
I've been doing it for a long time. You know, for at least 10 years, I've been going to one or two a year. And this was, you show up, they have bucket of balls ready for you to go. They have the putting green, yada, yada, yada. You can sign in, you do all your raffles, all that stuff. But then in the back of the registration table, they have the first prize of what that winning team will win. And it gives you that motivation to hit a better shot, to play better. Right behind it is a Masters blazer. It's blue. It's like a royal blue, almost like the color of your shirt, Brendan, but more royal. And it looks just like a Masters jacket, like a blazer, has the little logo, which is actually something that looks like the Masters logo for the Nathan Parker Fund. I mean, just that alone is like, wow, this is cool. Then you go to your car and you get free. You get a free hat, which is great hat, great shirt. You get tees, you get balls, you get everything like that. Name on the card, you know, standard stuff. But then you go through it. They have one of those air gun things, which I've never done before, which is how cool are those? For those of you who have never played an air gun thing, I had never done it. They load this huge bazooka looking thing. It's almost like a potato gun. They load it up to a certain PSI. They say, aim here, shoot it. And you land on the green on this par four that's 380 yards away.
Timmy,
and then you get an eagle putt.
Let me stop you there. That's like a 240, 30, 40 yard shot. Me, Timmy, Brendan, Brian, only Timmy landed on the green. We weren't even close. The other three of us weren't even close. Timmy goes up there first, pulls the trigger, thing plants right next to the pin, like probably 10, 12 feet. We missed the eagle putt. God damn it. But regardless, me, Brendan, Brian, we're up there. We pull the trigger, ball. Timmy made it look so much easier than it really was. Bottom line.
The other part of the story is the only shot of mine we used that day was not actually with a golf club. So that's the story. That's the storyline there. And then
what? I don't even.
And then No, I don't know if that's true, but
that's not true. That's
but it was definitely the weakest link. Was
Brian? Brian played great. Brian played great. He
definitely played well.
We didn't play great. It's all good.
No, but Brian played well. We, Mike, you were clutch on some drives. That's for sure. When all of us were in the woods, you just put it down the center, which was great. You made a couple clutch putts and all that. But anyway, so play wasn't great. We only finished at 5 or 6 under, something like that. Anyway. Great time, but they also, so after we do the air gun, we go through yada, yada, yada. Usually when you go to a dinner afterwards, they have a, you know, some crummy kitchen dinner that, you know, you're like, oh, it's some, it's just like pasta and meatballs and something like that. You're like, yeah, that's great. You're not going there for the food. It's cool that you have a meal after, but then they have the raffles and prizes. They did it right. They brought in 2 food trucks, a barbecue food truck and a brick oven pizza food truck.
Delicious, Brendan.
Absolutely delicious. Like, I'm talking authentic barbecue. Fall off the bone, brisket, pulled pork, ribs, the ribs.
Brendan, they were like, you had known some people, some Attleboro guys, but you, I mean, Timmy, how hot was it? People were just throwing ribs back, sweating, just things are dripping all over the place. Shit's hitting the fan. I mean, place was so well run and organized, but eating was a battle. It was so freaking hot.
It was hot.
That's hilarious. And you got like barbecue sauce and you're sweating and you got napkins that you're piling on your face that are only pounding it deeper into your pores. But it was just a battle. But it was so awesome because the food tasted really, really good.
Oh, I'm jealous. God damn.
Next year we're doing it again. So we'll
100%.
I know. I wish I had updates on my end for this, for Bogeys for the Boys, but it's been, it's been a weekend and a half.
Crickets.
Moving, been doing the moving. So that's been a little rough. Basically moved out of my apartment in South Boston. So this weekend, but, my new lease doesn't start until the 18th. So I am officially back in Southeastern Mass for 2 or 3 weeks. So it'll be interesting for sure how long that takes. But yeah, so I just haven't had time to play. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. I've been dying. Got the itch back. So, you know, we'll get there though.
We'll get there.
Oh man.
I just got a text from you a couple minutes ago before the pod started.
Oh yeah.
You said we're playing in a couple of weeks, so
September 20th, we got a tournament for my brother's keeper. I'm very excited.
Where's that?
It'll be at Foxborough Country Club.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. But
last time I played there, I think I shot like a 97.
It's one of the hardest courses. It's the ultimate spot course. It's in like the area, like it is an absolute spot course. Bryson would be fine with going the whole, you know, drive and gouge, but us normies cannot do that.
I'm excited. And,
oh yeah, very excited. And we are back with, there it is.
What do you mean like a spot course? You mean like a Wentworth Hills kind of thing?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, like a much, much harder Wentworth Hills spot course. Like how I would describe it is you have to hit like the driving zone. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you're screwed. Like you are absolute, like you are making bogey at least. Like if you're
kind of like Norton, Timmy, like Norton.
Yeah. It's a little like Norton.
But
as well.
The back at Norton's not as
hard. No.
Hard. But it's a good test. And the greens are running quick typically, and I think I don't want to give any course bad publicity, but whoever the superintendent was like a couple years ago, like he would put pins at certain locations on greens that was just undoable, unputtable. You couldn't make, I mean, it was just very difficult.
Four putting.
You don't like to see those pins that are sloped, you know, but no excuses, play like a champ.
Rule number 75.
Rule number 75.
Oh. All right, Tim. It's come to that time.
Timmy, you said you had a good one last week.
Yes, I hope you kept it.
Oh, shit. I forgot that one.
No!
What were we talking about?
No! Yes, dude, I do that all the time. We were talking about What was the question last week?
Oh, I don't know. I just put it in the golfer poll. No, and we don't have a. We didn't clip it. We didn't clip it last week either. I totally forget.
Last week was
the three
backyard.
Par four, par three, par four, par five, backyard.
I don't think it had anything to do with that. But
Ryder Cup, so, no.
Let me get back to that one. I'll think of that one. I got to go back and classic. Listen to that podcast now. Because something in there that we took. Holy smokes, this dog.
Normie.
Hey, Normie just wants to join. He just wants to be a part of the crew.
Yeah, Timmy, I'm curious. I'm curious if you go back and listen to the pod, if you hear yourself say in the moment, because you said like, oh, I got a great one for next week. I wonder if it'll come back to you. Like,
what? It's got to. It's got to. There's got to be a keyword in there that one of you said that made me think of it. Has to be.
Next week.
This week, I was thinking about it, and because I try to do it themed with what's going on in the world of golf, in current events, you know, things like that. So this week, if you could, would you, and which course would you change it to? Would you change the course of East Lake Golf Club as the Tour Championship? Would you change it to a different course? And if so, what would it be? You know, you can change it to, you can actually switch it with another tournament if you want. If you want to make another tournament where the Tour Championship is, and you want to put this one out there, to East Lake, you know, do it to that. And then, for instance, if you want me to go first, well, you think.
I don't need to think.
You got it?
Augusta.
No, but that would mean, so you, yeah, I guess so.
No, that would mean the Masters would take on East Lake.
Yeah.
No, okay, yeah. No, I figured that was not a legit answer.
But you could choose a course that doesn't host a tournament yearly, and you wouldn't have to switch it. You know what I mean? For instance, you could have a Whistling Straits or something like that. Or,
right. I like it. I do need to think. Brendan?
I can go first. I probably wouldn't change it because of two reasons. Number one, East Lake is the home of Bobby Jones, who is considered like the greatest amateur golfer, helped set up the PGA, like, you know, helped set up the tour, did so much for golf. The PGA Tour then put so much money into it because like it basically became dilapidated in like the 70s and the 80s. They put so much into it. They brought East Lake back. Like it is you know, a huge part of American golf. And like, I think that gets kind of lost a lot. Like, I don't think many people know like the history of East Lake until the Tour Championship comes around and then they hear about it again. They're like, oh yeah, East Lake. Like I remember that now. If you have to move it, if you absolutely have to move it, I mean,
right. And let's just compliment that answer right there. That's a great answer. I'm in on that. I mean, you said exactly what could have been said about the history of East Lake and Bobby Jones. And I didn't even know that dilapidated part that.
It like ran into disrepair. It was like in ruins basically in the 70s. And then like, yeah. So they did a whole campaign to bring it back to like what it is now. And now it's again, like one of the premier golf courses in America. I just don't know where you would put it. I mean, you could put it at Sawgrass, I guess, but like, I don't want the players at East Lake. I mean, probably Pebble would probably be, you know, if you got rid of the AT&T Pro-Am and you put the Tour Championship at Pebble every year. But I think it's good where it is. I think it's good where it is.
In 1970, the East Lake Meadows public housing project was built on the site of the club's number two course and became a center for poverty, drugs, and violence. Middle-income homeowners fled the surrounding neighborhood, replaced by low-income renters. By the 1980s, once proud, East Lake was a tired, mostly forgotten golf course, seemingly as hopeless as the surrounding neighborhood. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of sad.
That's awesome that it's come that far.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Jones too. That's
That's where he learned to play golf. He learned that was his course, East Lake. So pretty cool. So I think, yeah, I think it's good where it is.
I don't know how I can argue, you know?
I know, that's tough.
That's a good, you know your stuff, and let's keep it at East Lake.
All right. The only two I was thinking of was the first one, the AT&T. Hate that the Pro-Am is played at Pebble Beach every year. I think that could be a better tournament that's played
Pebble Beach came to mind.
Yeah, I mean, because imagine playing at Pebble Beach at the last tournament of the season. That would be cool. Mm-hmm. Every single year. That would be cool. If East Lake did not exist, like if they were really struggling to find an East Lake or something like that.
Yeah.
And then also, Brennan, you pointed the other one, TPC Sawgrass, the Players. I don't really care where the Players is played. It's a high stakes tournament for sure. Really care where it's played.
Not a major.
But
not a major.
Not a major.
No, not
a golf's fifth major. But stop it, Randall Chamblee. You stop it. If you had
that as your tour championship venue, yeah, that would be kind of cool.
I agree. I agree there. That would be cool. I'm keeping it at East Lake, baby. Keeping it. They've done a great job to make it into what it is again. It's an unbelievable course. So, you know, hopefully it continues to stay like that for the rest of its days.
Brendan, I think you won this one.
I do too.
Like winning.
That's a good one.
I do too.
Awesome. All right, lads. Well,
hey, some good golf coming up. Some really good golf coming up this weekend.
Some great golf.
Enjoy.
We didn't even talk about the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, but honestly, like, we kind of ran out of time.
My tummy's hungry.
Yeah. What else? Mike, that's how you live. I feel like you just need to end every podcast now like that. Just like, I'm hungry.
My brother made spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh, what's
frozen meatballs?
I don't think so. I think he ground ground meat and.
Oh, interesting.
That kid can cook. He can cook. When he sets his mind to cooking, it's a delight.
I'm going to taste some spices in there. That's for sure. he likes to spice it up.
I love it.
Yeah. But good shit, fellas.
As always. All right, boys.
Back out here.
Can't wait. As always, boys. Great talking to you. We'll talk next week. Get on out there. Let it fly, boys.
Play better, baby.
Duff it up.
Woo.